Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go again. I have a different sort of a show today, and I'm going to predicate this with a warning. It ain't for everybody. The faint, weak of heart, people who got palpitations and whatnot ought to listen to Disneyland or something. Quite honestly, the reporting, as the title says, does disclosing things do any good? Well, there are very few in the public to whom I pay attention or really listen to. And I mean, there's very few publicly broadcast things that I listen to, shows, etc. Then you got another kind of a deal. Rush Limbaugh's gone. I miss him, to be honest with you. And yet, Mark Levin has picked it up and run with the ball. What I'm going to tell you today is how many hear things. How many hear things? How many people are on the internet scoping it out? How many people are on some kind of something that you can listen to a story about? Well, the problem that we've got has less to do with what we've got presently and what's coming. And it's up to you whether you're ready or not, or whether you are made of the right material, got the right stuff and all that, to join in or not. If you're not ex-military, you probably ain't got what it takes to join in easily. This is why I tell you, get in touch with the militia. You'd be surprised how helpful those people can be. Now, what I'm going to tell you today is how many hear things. Everybody and their mother-in-law hears all kinds of broadcasts such as this, or other ones, or sees posts on Facebook and sees short videos on YouTube. The problem is, manyfold, and the problem is manyfold and covers issues, and I got that old red line, that are only generally reported. Have you watched the news shows lately? They don't get into specifics. They're not allowed to. They get into specifics, not only will they cut the power, but they'll come get them. I do mean that. This applies to all news shows and the people reporting, except one. And that happens to be Mark Levin. Now, I'm giving him a lot of praise, and he deserves it. What he is fighting for and with is quite something. What we've got today is a real nasty situation. And when I say nasty, it's like something that the dog did on the floor that, you know, you call him a nasty dog and toss him out in the yard kind of thing, or the cat or whatever. Now, I don't normally jump on everybody, but this time I'm jumping, and I hope I land with both feet, and I hope it makes sense to people that are listening. Anybody that doesn't hear this at the time that I'm making the broadcast is more than welcome to get a copy. Blog Talk Radio keeps a running dialogue of these shows. All you got to do is look it up and put reporting in there, and bingo, Drake Bailey, and there I come. And you'll get to hear all of the horse manure that I put out on a regular basis. Now, what you got to understand is a lot of these people take an issue with the idea of the manner in which I present things. Well, I present things from written sources, and these things can be just funnier than I'll Get Out, and just as serious as Death and Taxes. Now, I got two magazines to go through, and it'll be a quickie, I guarantee. Try of the Week. A National Review, under the headline, The Week, states things very well. Listen up, it's a goodie. Dr. Fauci says attacks on him are attacks on sciences. And, come to think of it, science has been getting pretty full of itself, too. Now, that pretty much says everything there has to be said about the situation or terrain in which we are presently deployed. Try to elucidate further and it gets funky. You have people out there that have objected and gotten away with the objection, and nobody's going to change it. No matter how many lawsuits Scardina files, Christian Baker Jack Phillips has a right to free speech. Ah, you don't like that, do you, Scardina? Which includes freedom from compelled speech and the right to exercise his conscience in the practice of his art. Think about that very carefully. That's basically the ideology behind not trying to put somebody that refused to bake cake in jail. Oh, then we got New York. Now, June 22nd, New York mayor primary was as frustrating as it was important. And the title of it is A Return to Realism. Mayoralities. Giuliani and Bloomberg. 8 years of Bill de Blasio ratcheted back the gains made. Oh, what gains? The gains in against crime and all this other stuff. Does it sound familiar? Wow. Hello, President Biden. You might want to listen in yourself because this deals with you as much as it does with anybody else. That left Eric Adams. Adams, who rose to the rank of captain in the New York PD, made his name as a critic of it from within in the 90s. And that's a long time ago. Running for mayor, he hit crime hard, proposing to bring back the plainclothes in a crime unit disbanded last year and defending a limited use of stop and frisk. Limited use. The rich, whose taxes are vital, will not live in a crime-ridden city, which is true, but they also won't live in one that picks their pockets. Ooh, my. New York got hit twice right there. Votes cast ahead of time and on election day put Adams ahead with 30%, trailed by Wiley at 21, Garcia 20. If Adams' lead holds, New York must hope his sometimes sensible talk holds as well. Yeah. All right, here's a headline. Y'all can do what you want to with it. In Houston, our Lord isn't woke. Power and Politics in the Southern Baptist Convention. Now, this is the National Review. let's see here. They should have one. Yeah. Oops. It don't say what week this is, but it covers quite a bit. This is the latest edition that I've got. And it covers a bunch of different things, but it has not gotten to the point of blowing everything away. Dewey defeats critical race theory. Public schools have fostered civic unity around American ideals. They decided to step on parental rights. Remember I covered that on a show? Uh-huh. I even put the 42 code 98580 into the show. I posted it on there. Now, what you got to remember is that they're going to tell you something here that's not correct. Moms are rising up in a counter-revolutionary revolt. Revolt against critical race theory, anti-racism, and the introduction of the 1619 Project into high school curricula, and the suddenly invasive demands of diversity, equity, and inclusion consultants who are being hired by their school districts. You can tell them all to jump. Because that's what the progressives wish in vain, that this moment, a movement, were an AstroTurf operation run by shadowy right-wing donor networks. It has been springing up in school districts in reaction to initiatives led by administrators themselves. And it continues. Stop indoctrinating our children. We don't need communist values taught to them. Tell them, a child or any child, that they are in a permanent oppressed status in America because they're black is racist. And saying that white people are automatically above me, my children or any child, is racist as well. It's called equality. The word is equality. It's the level playing field that's supposed to be there. Now, this is not something we stand for in our country. Revolts, such as South Lake, Texas, and Loudoun County, Virginia, have been even more dramatic. Oh, boy. You had a book in 1995 that talks about different things. Unlike traditional civil rights discourse, which stresses incrementalism and step-by-step progress, critical race theory questions the very foundations of the liberal order, including equality theory, legal reasoning, enlightenment rationalism, and neutral principles of the constitutional law. Ooh. Think about it very carefully. I don't care who the school district is or what they think of it. Unlike traditional civil rights discourse, which stresses all this, they write critical race theory questions at the very foundations of the liberal order, the foundations, equality theory, legal reasoning, etc. The contrast with the civil rights movement is apt. Expand on the ideals of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, which we see as a promissory note that was too long withheld from all Americans. What critical race, critical pedagogy, critical race theory, and the modern anti-racist movement have in common is an attitude of basic antipathy toward the Constitution. They don't like it. Skepticism about American ideals, and a sense of zealous urgency in uncovering and overthrowing the operation of white supremacy that they believe to be the real motive for defending these ideals. The problem we have is that educational associations, to include any one of any number of them, feel they can teach any friggin' thing they want in any manner they see fit. That's illegal. Hello, my. You guys got to look it up. Look it up. It's illegal. The mainstream of life in the United States is recoded from its national name, American, to a racial one, white. Ooh. Destabilizes the entire idea of mainstream or common civic inheritance. Refusal to recognize oneself as an oppressor is reframed as white fragility. A simple allegiance to equality under the law, traditionally understood, is ridiculed as color blindness and a stubborn unwillingness to recognize how racial identity structures power. Ooh, strangest of all, an odor of religiosity permeates the proceedings. Microaggressions are repented of and confessed. Identity experiences are received as testimonials. Privilege is recognized like original sin as an inherited guilt. Well, I hate to tell you, but just because I'm white, don't make me guilty of diddly squat. I have not owned any slaves, and you ain't worn any chains. Get off of it. Get over yourself. I mean, good grief. What you have to understand is that gender assimilation to one another, not to Anglo-Saxondom, seems to be essential to be an American. Oh, well, maybe we've got something that goes further than that. It's called parental rights. That's 42 U.S. Code 98580. Look it up. Then they call How to Think About January 6th. The Capitol riot was an insurrection, as federal law understands the term. Horse hockey. What should be the penalty for insurrection? Well, first of all, you got to prove that there was one. First, you can't certify fraud. And this thing is heavy on opinion. Lots of fraud. Capitol riot was a national disgrace. No, it wasn't. People simply exercised their right to assembly. Whether you like it or not, that's where it goes. Maintained that it was orchestrated by radical leftists disguised as Trump supporters. True. Yeah. And you want to see videos of that? I can get some of it. A new claim has emerged, amplified by Tucker Carlson's prodigious Fox News megaphone. The riot was covertly instigated by the FBI, which entrapped patriotic, fundamentally law-abiding pro-Trumpers. True. And the next word is nonsense, or horse hockey, as I'd put it. Most of these were peaceful, if misguided, protesters, but hundreds were not. Now, you want to lump everybody in this? Get a hold of BLM and Antifa. Are allowed to do anything, and we're not? Well, vandalism. Oh, whoopee-doo. The media democratic insurrection rhetoric is hyperbolic. And it gets worse. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, the terrorist mob attack, she says, illustrated that the idea was to equate the so-called insurrection with 9/11. While excluding from consideration a markedly more extensive and lethal rioting led by Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and other left-wing radicals that occurred throughout the country in the months following the death of George Floyd. An exclusion under the camouflage of the optical apolitical search for the truth, the commission would peddle the politicized theme that binge fringe extremist racism to all Trump supporters. Well, I hate to tell you, but just because I'm a Republican only makes me guilty of not being a Democrat. Anyway, it goes on and on. Insurrection is the carrying out of an uprising. It didn't get carried out because they didn't uprise. They didn't take anything, take over anything of value. Noteworthy. For all the politicized prattling about insurrection, none of the hundreds of rioters thus far arrested has been charged with the federal crimes of insurrection and sedition. What's that tell you? That tells you that it's all bogus horse hockey. It's very, very simple to get this right. It's like 9/11 was an inside job. Why do I say that? The Air Force was told not to interfere. Think about it. They had fighter jets ready to go. Certain people in power said no. Republican politicians say that Rising inflation is a consequence of President Biden's free spending policies. It is. They're printing about $60 billion a week. Think about that. What's that going to do for the dollar? Oh, we're going to have some fun. If the markets have it right, why is all of this monetary and fiscal stimulus having so small an effect on inflation? Why are things getting inflated? Political discrimination is a civil rights struggle. Horse hockey. It goes from there. If you're a conservative, you're wrong. And they're going to try to say that you're a Nazi and a nasty thingamabob until such time as they can get something together that will hold water. What they've come up with so far don't hold water. And it's not getting any worse, and it's not getting any better. Staying right about the same. Anybody out there got kids? Oh, you share this. You have amazing kids. This is Happy Warrior. David Harsanyi. Well, I think. You have amazing kids. They've spent years diligently doing their homework, their schoolwork, and you've done your part as well. You played classical music for them while they were still in the womb. You signed them up for Montessori Nursery School as toddlers. Because it's never too early to learn how to stack geometric cubes, you took seemingly every book out of the local library. You bought them chemistry sets and telescopes. You dramatically overpaid for a modest home because it sits in a marginally better public school district than your last one. You doled out cash for AP tests and college-level courses on exotic subjects like calculus. You cheered on all their extracurricular activities because everybody knows making the honor roll is the bare minimum these days. You drive them to math club, manga club. You sit in the cold watching them march across soggy football fields, holding their expensive instruments while wearing neat Napoleonic War-era uniforms. And then when it's all over, after they've done everything you asked of them and more, guess what? You realize you're screwed. That's just one take on the many takes that can be had if you go and look into all this. This is July 12th, 2021. See, I didn't cover the whole magazine. Didn't take me long at all. Well, guess what? There's more. We got Washington Examiner. And this is July 13th, 2021. This is the 17th, so it's this week anyway. In a cancel culture, anonymity must be a civil right. Guess what? Anonymity in ordinary times is a tough topic to wrestle with. These days, however, it's easy. Dissent, and thus democracy, will only survive in today's culture if anonymity is preserved. That's why the Supreme Court 6-3 decision striking down California's donor disclosure law was correct and crucial. Think about that. Think about it very carefully, because we've got things that go well beyond politicness or anything else you want to call it. Freedom of association is a fundamental right protected by the Constitution. Supreme Court jurisprudence holds that if a government wants to regulate it, the government needs a compelling interest, and the regulation needs to be narrowly tailored. California's law clearly didn't meet these standards. Oops. And the Democrats, oh, they went nuts. Their allies portrayed it as a win for wealthy donors. It's an odd characterization for a coalition of charities and nonprofit groups that includes the ACLU and the NAACP. Ooh, really? Well, now consider why these happy culture warriors would want to force disclosure of all donors to nonprofit organizations. They believe that government can and should repress the groups they see as blocking their idea of progress. Oh, fight for gun rights? You're a bad guy. Stand up for the unborn? You're an enemy of women. Oppose the teachers' unions? You're on the list. Biden, Harris, Becerra, and Bonda want to use the power of the state to crush dissent. Think about that very carefully. I think we ought to take our freedoms back and tell those mothers to go to work for White Castle, if White Castle would have them, which I kind of doubt. Oh, my. And one of them might donate money and might do so anonymously to a disfavored charity, perhaps even something so disreputable as a pro-life clinic for pregnant women. Is intolerable for our thought police in the press and state or federal government. Whew. They must all have all conservatives out of hiding so they can take care of us. Thank God the Supreme Court is standing up for an anonymity. At the bottom of the page is a neat joke. We're in Russia. No, they're in China. I take it back. And I got one guy that says, they're all covering the protest to free Britney Spears. Obviously, she's not a Uyghur. It's pretty simple. Try this. It's a headline. It's all I'm going to read. Biden's embrace of Saudi prince shows that his only goal was defeating Trump. Doesn't have anything else to work with or work on. And ain't got no brains to make nothing up either. I don't know if you watched him stuttering and stammering. Is failure a byproduct or an aim of Democratic policy? Ooh, letter of the editor or letter from the editor. Hugo Gurdon. This letter comes to you from Maine rather than, as normal, from Washington, D.C. Examining the entrails of federal policy is easier in the imperial city, but one can see better from outside the Beltway how it fails. And he goes on to describe it all. And the Democrats want not only a torpid public dependent on central government, remember the extra unemployment benefits, but also actually want America to fail. Why? Well, because you can't. If the people aren't suffering, they can't go anywhere with socialism, communism, and that sort of thing. Until young people start to prioritize and value raising children, families, and the communities they make, will always be vulnerable. Think about it. You want to get in? You want to go? Let's go a step further. Henry can't save. Many young adults were never taught how to save their money. And oh my, that's the only explanation for a recent study that found that 60% of millennials earning more than 100 grand a year are living paycheck to paycheck. This group even has its own acronym, according to Business Insider, the Henrys, or high earners, not yet rich. They don't understand how it works, and are not interested in learning about it. Why the left wants America to fail. This is Washington Examiner, July 13, 2021. Success undermines the progressive politics of suffering. If you ain't suffering, we can't make you do what we want. We can't hold a carrot out there and threaten everybody else with a stick. Most people just say, oh, bullshit. Go on to something else. Change channels. The fragmentation of the American left dates at least to the 1968 Democratic Convention. You remember the cracked heads and went nuts? Oh, boy. Why are they bringing in all everybody that's illegal? Soon America would be mostly black and brown, and conveniently black and brown voters vote Democratic. Questions? I mean, it's simple. Barack Obama didn't get how to lead. He did. He had everybody else do it for him. Decent people cared enough about equality and civil rights, but thought that the main thing was money, jobs, health care, and the end of student debt. Woo, need to take us down, huh? Well, here's the problem. The villain is naturally white. I'm sorry, but there ain't enough white people to fill the positions. The villain is a striver, a defier of odds, a builder who does not care how hard something is, who possesses great sympathy but does not believe he personally can afford to wallow in it. The villain is a repudiation of the topology of suffering. The villain is loathsome, and in America, he's seemingly everywhere the progressives look. Ooh, path to victory in the wokeism war. Well, that's simple. Outlaw it and ban it. Stop teaching critical race theory, indeed. Cultural and policy changes are moving fast. Going to have to catch up. Well, the word woke, in its black American vernacular slang sense, meaning conscious of a silent, social truth most people are blind to, goes back to at least to a lead belly lyric from the 1930s and likely before. Ooh. How far we got to go with all this before somebody realizes what's going on? And you got this guy, this picture of a guy in New York City holding up a sign, "White silence is violence." It's a lie. If we speak up, we get banned, dummy. And there's a white guy holding the sign. I mean, it gets... Certainly, the government and school boards have the right to set curricula. No, they don't. In the schools, they require children to attend in that citizens' fund. The parental rights subjugates that ideology to the fact that you determine. Individuals, if you got kids in schools even, you set the curricula. Not the school board, not the teachers' union, and not some dink with a 1619 project or critical race theory or one of those happy things. People who are induced to attend a training by the order of their professional superior in private institutions that have legal standing to demand anonymously through a lawyer written argumentation that any training has some basis in the best available rigorous evidence from scientific or sociological research from any institution that initiates said training. Oink. People acknowledge the truth, which is that there is less racism and other prejudice than there used to be, and that is a good thing. And now you got General Miley. Look at the picture of him with his foot in his mouth. CRT versus military effectiveness. Well, fire the dude because he's not worth 10 cents, dead or alive, when he talks the way he does. I have previously criticized flag and general officers, both active and retired, for not denouncing the calumny that the military has somehow become a hotbed of white supremacist racism. Had I been advising General Miller, I would have encouraged him to push back against critical race theory rather than appearing to embrace it. Ooh. You mean the boy is guilty? Oh, boy. Democrats aren't sure their heir apparent is up to the task. They show her, Kamala Harris on crutches. Band-aids and everything everywhere, dripping blood. Kamala in crisis. Well, she's broken. They had that she ran up against. She decided she was going to do some things, and run up against the solid wall that tells everyone what she's worth. She ain't done diddly squat, therefore she don't get nothing. Well, let's see here. Biden faces uncertain politics of the filibuster as his agenda stalls in Congress. I would suggest Biden and associates don't screw with the filibuster. You won't like the results. They've got several things in here that I could have covered. Federal judge blocked Florida's new law targeting social media companies. The court said the law, signed by Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, violates companies' First Amendment rights. And what about our rights, huh, federal judge? I know what I'd tell you where you could stick that ruling, but I'm not going to get that descriptive on the show. No one in sight for mask mandates. It's all BS, but there's more and more and more of it going on. Never Trumpers blast fringe GOP members and called on. Former Representative Charlie Dent said that some of these people are on the stage. He called them wackadoodles. Well, my goodness, man, takes one to know one. you ain't been around school kids very much lately. A June jobs report, an improvement, but economy is still lacking. Critics maintain that expanded unemployment benefits are hindering job growth. They are. Here's Moore. Stephen Moore is a knowledgeable person. OPEC and big oil's new best friend, Joe Biden. Guess what he did? He stopped U.S. production. Well, why do you think the gas is going up and stuff? The irony of the story is that the industry that Biden and Greens hate the most is benefiting from his foolish policies. Foolish policy. Oh, and yes, those are the Saudi oil sheiks you're seeing rolling on the ground laughing at us. Think about it. It don't take a rocket scientist to catch on to this stuff. But just because I'm running it through doesn't mean that it's going to go anywhere either. I'll explain that in a minute. I have to fumble my way through. Here we go. Barone. Now, this guy knows his stuff fairly well, and he exhibits it in this article here. Senior political analyst for the Washington Examiner. He's been around politics since it was born, I think. Both parties are failing to respond to signals in the political marketplace, better known as we the people. we don't matter. So, you know, they don't mind ignoring us. It's worse and worse. A politicized Justice Department? Oh, my goodness. Democratic Party's number one priority is to pass a voting reform bill that would federalize elections on rules favorable to Democratic candidates. Nobody else, just Democratic candidates. More important than infrastructure or massive new social spending or anything else, which is why Nancy Pelosi and Senate Leader Chuck Schumer gave their election bill the designation H.R. 1 in the House and S.1 in the Senate. Well, it ain't gonna pass. And I will suggest that there's a couple of other things going on that. Everybody needs to be aware of. The department will intervene in election procedures around the country to do at least some of the work the Democrats are failing to accomplish on Capitol Hill. next 30 days, we will double the Civil Rights Division's enforcement staff for protecting the right to vote. Congress has not yet acted on S1 and another Democratic voting measure, the John Lewis Voting Rights Act. Woo! And Garland continued, we will not wait for the legislation to act. We'll do something illegal, you dink. We'll arrest you along with the other perpetrators. His premise, entirely without basis, was that voting rights are under attack today in a manner reminiscent of the 50s or 60s. Been a dramatic ride in legislative efforts that will make it harder for millions of citizens to cast a vote that counts, Garland said. Well, Garland, it'd be nice if you'd quit pablum puking and get down to the nitty-gritty. Let's see, where is it at? Dramatic, let's see. Garland's speech was a collection of left-wing talking points decrying new state laws and abnormal post-election audit methodologies. Ooh, and wait, that's from the last election. To meet the challenge of the current moment, we must rededicate the resources of the Department of Justice to a critical part of the original mission, enforcing federal law to protect the franchise of voters. Really? Well, I find it interesting. Ooh, President Biden. Georgia voting law was Jim Crow on steroids, you know. Spetskovsky, voting rights, that's it. I think those claims are meritless, and they hope to bulldoze the states with the overwhelming resources the Justice Department can bring into such litigation. And then he continued, and Garland no doubt wants to add the heft of the Justice Department to these lawsuits, try to get the state's laws knocked out by a friendly, liberal, federal judge. The only problem is there isn't one. And they want to do this outside of law enforcement. Oh, boy, you just wait until law enforcement gets a hold of you. It's going to be painful. And just to let everybody know, I haven't forgot you. I've been on talk radio since 2009. You realize how long that is? One to three shows a week? Whew. Talk about wearing somebody out. Spotty before that and blasted off with David Wilcox interview. Yeah, it's true. Over these years, I've noticed that just about everything has been outed, vetted, and printed or broadcast. My question is, what good, all red line, has any of this done? Hello, come on up, pay attention. Who has gone to jail? Most of all, why not? Expect the good guys to run the show. That includes the coming martial law, for in case you aren't aware. You need food, water, and a gun. If you don't have these, get them. Trump said, they're not after me, they're after you. Here they come. They won't come to get us. Anyone at your door needs to show credentials. If not, they're bogus, and you can still tell them to leave. All right? Bear this in mind. The people of America and the country is at critical mass, a point of no return. Either we retake our country or lose it. The choice is yours and yours alone. Now, nobody else has the time to fight for our freedoms and rights is now. Now, Bedard in Washington Examiner, that's July 13th. American Crisis 2. Mark Levin issues 1776-style call for action. And this is the last thing I'm going to cover. You guys need to pay attention. You need to get your stuff straight, put your stuff in order, and be ready to go along with the group that's going to take back our country for nearly two decades. Mark Levin, the nation's top conservative talker, has been penning New York Times best-selling warnings about the left's takeover of America, similar to American Crisis, a pamphlet here, Thomas Paine, who wrote under the pseudonym Common Sense during the American Revolution. Levin has called on the nation to wake up before falling off a political cliff. I guarantee you, you don't have a clue. Nobody out there probably does. Nobody will have any kind of rights left. We're in the abyss now. Yeah, I'm flapping real hard trying to get out. Days of warnings are over, replaced by a call for action and a new movement to fight back. Get your stuff together and get ready to go to war with these turkeys. If you love individualism and freedom, if you love opportunity, capitalism, if you love this nation and you appreciate everything that's come before, the shoulders that we stand on, then it's time to step up. His targets are vast and all part of a post-Donald Trump discussion in America, including critical race theory, the liberals' media axis with the Democratic Party, court packing, big tech's canceling of its conservative voices, and the attack on the United States history. Do you think that pulling down a statue is going to change history? How stupid. Now we have to become the activists. We get to be the BLM. Weeks, his latest book, for Weeks, top Amazon pre-publication bestseller, leads to a new movement that is similar to the 2009 Tea Party movement and even the American Revolution. You know what? My children and grandchildren are going to face a hellish, impoverished future. If I don't stand up now, everybody needs to look at it that way. And what you need to understand is that I'm not the only one out here saying this. He's not the only one out here saying this. There are a bunch of us that are out here saying this. What you have to look at is the reality. Take the blinders off. Don't listen to the BS pundits that would like you to look the other way at something else. And... spread this show. Everybody needs to hear it. Everybody needs to step up at this point. If you don't, we're done. And I'll just be some outlaw that lives in the woods. And you guys, ones that care, give a shit enough to listen to the show, everybody that gets a copy needs to pay attention. And I mean pay attention. The time to fight for our freedoms and rights is now. So go out there and spread this thing like free beer, make it go viral, and consider the fact that you need to do one thing. Get her done.